This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Bot Archie's on Carson Street. I'll get down to Archie's, the official chicken wing of the fan. Archie's the home. 60 cent wings Monday through Thursday. It's the home of the Paul's Ice Grilled Cheese Sandwich. We're also brought to you by Solomon Auto Group, and the Fan Hotline is brought to you by Workers' Compensation Law Firm of Hall & Capetus. We were talking about basketball and the myth that somehow Euro basketball and Euro training is better than AAU college basketball, and that Europeans are taking over. Scott in the South Hills. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Paul. Great show. Always enjoy your comments. Helpful. I just wanted to add that in reference to AAU, my son played AAU out here in the South Hills, and one of the biggest disappointments was that the coach, of course, had his son on the team, and, of course, everything was geared and structured around his son's development in terms of who played and when they played. And even when his son didn't perform very well in scrimmages or perform very well in practice, he always got his minutes. It was a very tilted coaching approach by the head coach of developing him. And there was a power forward that he worked very well with. So they got a lot of the minutes where it just seemed like the coach was more interested in developing some selected players that were on the team as opposed to the team as a unit. And I just wanted to add that to you because you were referencing how AAU needs tweaked. And I would like to suggest that I don't think a head coach should be teaching or coaching their own son, which would be one of the biggest improvements in the AAU structure, because I would – rest assured that a lot of the games that we did play, it was a similar setup. The head coach, his son played, or his son was the starter, regardless. And that, I guess, is the only comment I have. But I'd like your insight on that. Thank you very much.
All right, I appreciate it. I mean, again, my answer to that is find a team that isn't coached by a dad, right? I've coached for the last 10 years, and I have not had a kid on the team. 9 years. The one thing that people don't understand is there's a lot of different levels to AAU. There's the AAU structure that we're talking about at the national level. There's sort of a regional level, and then there's a local level. At the national level, that's, really what people are always blasting. They're blasting, these guys, these AAU coaches, they're using their kids. They're using these kids to get rich or whatever. They're using these kids, to get money out of colleges and all the other stuff. I mean, all of that kind of stuff is very overblown. But I think the biggest thing is, when you look at the structure as a whole, a lot of those guys are, all they're doing is playing games in AAU. Do you know why? Because they're largely at that level showcases. But that doesn't mean that these guys aren't working on their games on their own or working on their games with their high school coaches or working on their games with a coach or a trainer. And that's where the fallacy is. There's a lot of these guys that, you know, play AAU. Yeah, okay. With their AAU team, all they do is play a lot of games. But that doesn't mean they don't get the same work. You know, they don't work on it on their own. The structure is such that they're trying to get these guys seen, which is why they put them in these tournaments to go get seen. But, again, that's at the national level. Locally, it's a completely different animal. It's not even really AAU. It's just we've got kids from different school districts on a team. It's completely different. And, you know, the regionals, probably a mixture of both. Some kids that are out there trying to get seen, and, you know, but probably not at the highest level. And there's nothing wrong with any of it. But just like everything else in this world, the experience is what you make it and what it is. And so, you know, one size doesn't fit all. It just doesn't. You know, we had the caller just said, you know, he was on a team where the dad was the coach, and it seemed like the dad was interested in, well, you know, that's not the story for every AAU team. It's probably not, you know, and the thing about it is, and I've been around for 25 years, I've been coaching AAU for a lot of years, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I'll tell you is, teams like that generally don't last very long. Because everyone else on the team, they leave. They go somewhere else. They go to another team. You know, it is a problem. There is a problem with mommy and daddy, what I would call mommy and daddy ball. Absolutely. You know, little Johnny or little Molly doesn't get on the right, you know, gets on, you know, the top team. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, he doesn't get to play enough or she doesn't get to play enough and this and that and everything. So now little Molly's mother or dad goes and forms their own team. And, you know, that way they can dictate how much little Molly gets to play. And that's what happens. But the thing about it is those kind of teams quite often fall apart because people don't want to pay their hard-earned money to play for a team where their kid's not getting a fair shake. And the best thing about it is if you're able to find an organization where the coach is either a paid coach, which you see at time to time, or just a volunteer that doesn't have a kid on the team, then it's a different story. So it's not one size fits all. And that's the other problem I have with all of these, you know, stereotypes that are always thrown around about AAU basketball or any kind of basketball or any sport for that matter or any league for that matter. One size doesn't fit all. And often, quite often, the stereotypes aren't even really the majority. And like I just established, some of the best players, you know, most of the best players in the NBA are still guys that came from AAU and college, the college system. Again, do they got to do some things differently? Absolutely. At the highest levels, they're trying to. But this criticism that, well, all these AAU guys do is play games. Well, yeah, that's what it's for. They play games and be seen. And the funniest thing is that you'll hear, and it's usually the old school coaches, right? I mean, I'll give you a great example. We had a two-day showcase when, you know, for the high school, for the girls, but the same exact thing. For the high school girls, we had a two-day showcase for college coaches in September when there used to be a September viewing period, right? So we got the great idea. Let's have, you know, a 4 hours or whatever window. We'll have 2 hours of drills. And then 2 hours where we'll break the kids up and we'll have them play, you know, pickup games and then just rotate courts, right? So all these college coaches have come. So 2 days of this, you know, 2 hours of drills, 2 hours of games. So over the course of 2 days, 4 hours of drills. So, you know, now, you know, coaches got to be happy because they got to watch all these kids get through games. And remind you, you know, there are a number of these coaches that are always saying, oh, all these guys do, all these kids do is play games. Well, guess what? You know what the number one criticism we had of the showcase was? We wasted too much time in the drills. Coaches wanted to see the kids playing games. That's, I can't make that up. Coaches wanted to see the kids play games. They didn't want to watch them go through drills and stuff like that because the bottom line is they can see all of those things. They want to see how it translates into playing them on the court. So, you know, this idea that somehow, well, all these guys are doing in AAU, all they do is play games. They just never get together, never work on their game. That's not true. They're part of the AAU team or whatever you want to call it, you know, so they can play games and get seen because that's what it's for. But that doesn't mean they all don't have, you know, someone they work with as a shot coach. They work out with their high school coach. They work out in the gym. They go to the gym every single day and work on their game. It's just for purposes of being seen by college coaches, you need to have some structure and you need to be a part of a team. So they do. They form a team. And it's like, oh, well, you know, they're not really playing team basketball. Well, it doesn't matter. You're putting 8 or 10 guys together. They practice together and play. They're just trying to be seen. But that doesn't mean that's the only way that players develop or the only thing they do to develop. And that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves when people complain about it. Pat Greensburg. Hi, Pat.
I just wanted to touch on the other caller just a minute ago called in and discussed how the AAU team, his daughter was on, had a problem with as far as the daughter of the coach was playing more or something like that than the other players. I played AAU baseball for a long time. I just graduated college a couple years ago. I played baseball at Division II college in Seton Hill, just, you know, an hour outside of Pittsburgh. And I played with several guys, a guy that went to Virginia Tech, guy that went to Arizona who's currently playing in the Astros minor league system. And if your daughter is on a team or your son's on a team where the coach is favoring their child over yours as far as AAU, you know, you got to look for another option, because I can tell you my dad, he just recently passed away about a year and a half ago. And I promise you, he gave me no special treatment over any other kid on the team. You know, I batted seventh or eighth. Pitching wise, I was a good pitcher, so I always got a chance to pitch. But if the coach is giving that person special treatment, you know, you gotta look for another opportunity, because that's just not right. And you know, the reason you're in AAU is to get a chance to go find somewhere to play in college and hopefully find somewhere where your kid can go go on to another opportunity. And that's all I wanted to say. Paul, I listen to your show all the time. Thanks for taking my call, and hope you have a good night.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's the beauty of America, isn't it? You know, if you're not happy, go somewhere else. But, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all type thing. You know, if you've had a bad experience or this person's had a bad experience, you know what? There's probably 10 others who have had a good experience. But my only thing is this whole stereotype about AAU basketball and American players versus Euro players, most of it is silly. Yeah, I got to get to a break. It's 93.7. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. I tell you, Matt, the... a candidate for the dumbest story of the year, or at least the dumbest people of the year, has to be that. Did you see this thing with...
We have one already?
What? Oh, we've had plenty, believe me. Did you see this thing with Garth Brooks, though? You know who Garth Brooks is, right? He's a country music singer, right? A big superstar. Well, country music, would it be fair to say there's probably a demographic of fans of country music that probably overwhelmingly are on the red side of the aisle. Would you say that's probably fair? That the, you know, you look at a lot of the red states, I would think, a number of them are hotbeds for country music, right? Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, right? Okay. So anyway, Garth Brooks posts a photo of himself wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. Barry Sanders from the Lions. And, said something about, I don't know, one of the greatest or something. Well, all of a number of fans, quote unquote, started weighing in and basically told him they're done with him because they assumed that because he was wearing a jersey that had Sanders on the back, 20, Barry Sanders wore number 20. They assumed that meant that he was supporting Bernie Sanders, who's the guy running for president. There was like these, if you look at the comments, right? They're unbelievable. The best part is Barry Sanders himself saw the whole thing, right? And he tweeted out, "Hey, Garth Brooks, you want to be my VP?" So, that's hilarious. It's just, if you read the comments, they're beautiful. I mean, beautiful. It's hilarious to me. Apparently Garth Brooks went to school. So Garth Brooks must have went to Oklahoma State, I guess. Apparently he went to school with Barry Sanders. Yeah. That's funny. That's just hilarious. People are all angry. The comments are unbelievable, though. I mean, just completely unbelievable. Yeah. Hate the shirt. Trump 2020. Weird that a millionaire like you would like a socialist. Hey, Garth, are you going to distribute your millions? If this is about Bernie, I just lost all respect about you. I don't care about your politics. I love your music. Let's keep politics and entertainment separate. I mean, this is where we're at, Matt.
This is where social media is at right now?
Oh, my goodness. It's like, didn't any of these people stop to take a look at the jersey? Didn't any of these people stop to say, okay, he's wearing a blue and gray jersey that says Sanders 20 on it. Could be Barry Sanders' jersey. And the thing about it, too, is if you're that big of a fan, right? If you're that big of a fan of Garth Brooks, you probably know he went to Oklahoma State, right? I'm assuming, I guess I should look that up, but you probably know that's where he went to school, right? Let me look at it real quick, but I think that's probably, I would assume that's where he went to school. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he went to Oklahoma State. But what's the other country guy that actually played? I think he actually played at Oklahoma, right? Was it, the guy that, what's his name? I can see it's Toby Keith. Didn't he play or didn't he go to Oklahoma? Or I think he went to Oklahoma. I think he was actually a guy, he might have actually, there's one of these guys that actually played. Well, he went to Oklahoma. No, I'm sorry, he's from Oklahoma. He's just a big Oklahoma fan. You always see him at the Oklahoma games. But there was a guy that played for Oklahoma that I thought was a country music star or became a star of some sort. I forget who it was. Anyway, the whole Barry Sanders thing is hilarious to me. Like, nobody decided to take a, you know, and that's the thing. It's so funny, like, when, on social media, when you say something, most people will get it. Most, and then there's that group of people that they're dissed on Twitter just to look to argue with people. They'll just attack you no matter what you say. And then there's that group of people who are guessing what they think your meaning is, you know, or what they think you're getting at. You know what I'm saying? And you can make a post that has nothing political about it. And, you know, 50 people will weigh in, attacking you, saying, oh, your politics, stick to sports and all this other stuff. It's like, morons, it wasn't a political post. You know what I'm saying?
It was about the basketball game last night. Yeah, what talking about?
You know what I'm saying? Like I think it was Obama maybe, who showed up and was taking free throws or something. You know, and well, you know, one of these basically, he was somewhere. I think it was Obama. No, actually it might have been Biden, one, whoever it was. But they were taking free throws or shooting, you know, just like their photo op thing, you know, at a basketball court or whatever. And I just said something to the effect of, boy, whoever it was, I think it was Biden. He better stick to running for president because his form is awful, right? Meaning he's a bad shooter. I got caught, he's better than Trump and this and that. And where's your red hat and all this other stuff? And it's like, listen, my comment had nothing at all to do with his politics. But that's what's so funny about that. That's why, you know, if you're, and I hate to say it like this, but I'm somewhat of a public guy in terms of, you know, people, you know, there's a lot of people who know what I am. If you are somewhat of a public person and you tweet stuff, that's what happens. That's why I can completely see the whole Garth Brooks thing and how it happened. And I can also see where he's coming, you know, where he's coming from, where he's like, morons. I'm talking about Barry Sanders, not Bernie, Barry Sanders. You remember the guy that ran a lot for the Lions? That was one of the, greatest running backs ever. And, that guy. Oh, man. I guess, let's see. I don't think there's any famous athletes named Klobuchar, right? Or Biden. With the last name, whatever the mayor's last name, Pete. Or Bloomberg. So I guess if you're wearing a shirt with one of those names on the back, then people could say, oh, well, that's who you're supporting, right? But there's a lot of people named Sanders. I guess Barry actually wears number 20. What number does Emmanuel Sanders wear? 87 or something, right? Right?
Now it's 17.
Okay, he's 17 now. There's probably a lot of athletes with the last name Sanders, I'm thinking, right? We'll have to think about that. It's the Paul Zay Show. It's 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey. Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. All three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. So, yeah, we were talking about that. That's hilarious to me, though. The whole thing is just hilarious to me with that whole Garth Brooks situation, just because it just underscores how dumb. How dumb the whole thing is. Anyway, earlier today, I think that it became abundantly clear, maybe a while ago, but especially recently, that it's just, I mean, this Pirates team is going to be really hard to watch. We knew that, but I just think, you know, when you look at what's going on so far, I mean, it's the spring, and you can't get all too excited about it. But I will say, you know, this is really kind of an interesting thing when you really take a look at what they've done so far in the spring. They're 0-7-1. They've allowed 52, I think, this was actually tweeted out. I think they actually scored two more runs. So let me just double check it. They are 0-7-1, I think, is their record. 53 runs, and they've scored 20. They're minus 33 after seven games. What is it? 0-7-1. Eight games. Nobody else is. The A's are minus 22. And it's not, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you sound the alarm and all the other stuff. But again, I don't know how anybody could be really all that excited about it. You basically, you know, you're looking at, this is supposed to be a young, new, hungry team. And basically, you would think they'd have come out of the gate in spring training and really, you know, been something spectacular. But they weren't. And they haven't been. And it's getting kind of ugly, to be honest. It's just, you know, they're just not really a team where you look at it and you say, boy, this is something I can really get excited about. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not. And I just think that when you look at these numbers from the preseason so far, again, it's preseason. It's a tiny sample size. But the guys that were supposed to be doing good things for you so far really haven't. I mean, you know, today it was Trevor Williams who has struggled, and Michael Feliz actually was in there a little bit, and Stephen Brault was in there. You know, they haven't done well. When you're looking at some of their WHIP numbers and their ERA and everything else, and I mean, it's not good. And this is after they basically told us all that the pitchers are ahead of the hitters. Well, if the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, what's going to happen now? Because they're getting lit up at a rate that's unbelievable. And I think that's, you know, where I come down on the whole thing is every time I really want to believe that maybe, you know, there's a best case scenario for this team, all I got to do is turn them on. And I'll tell you, I watched today, Brian Reynolds made some bad plays in the field. Gregory Polanco misplayed a ball. There were a couple of balls that got through the infield. You know, they threw to the wrong base at least once, if not twice. A couple of guys scored on, you know, just plays they probably shouldn't have scored. I mean, it was just a joke. And you thought, at the very least, they would clean that up. And again, early in spring training, I'm not sitting here trying to make a definitive statement about who is doing what. I'm just saying it's scary if you think about it. Because if this is coming out of the gate with an edge, a chip on their shoulder, all the stuff we heard all winter long, what's going to happen when things settle in? That's what I would like to know. It's just crazy how that works. I look at it and I just say, this is a team that needs a lot. I get it. But what they have is a lot of holes that are going to have to play. Their center fielder is Gerard Dyson. And here's a guy. I couldn't name another team in the division that he would start for. There's not enough guys on this team that you could look at and say, boy, that guy right there, he would definitely start for, you know, any of the other four teams in the division. You know, would Colin Moran start at third for any team in the division or just about any contending team? No. I'd have to go around the league, but I would be willing to bet Josh Bell probably wouldn't even start for a number of teams. And, you know, I think really that's what it comes down to, you know, back to me, you know, when I get back to it, that's what it comes down to. It's like these guys, they've got way too many who wouldn't even, you know, who would barely even play for most teams, much less, okay, start for other teams. And I think that, you know, when you watch what's going on so far in spring training, you just have to ask yourself, is there any chance at all that this team is going to win 65 games? And there's no reason to believe that they will. You know, the pitching staff, to me, I look at it, how many of those guys would be a one or a two starter on any other team? Probably none. And I think, you know, if you go through and you look at it, you could probably say the same thing about a lot of the guys who are, you know, who are basically out there that are playing for them in the outfield, that are playing for them at various positions. And I'm not trying to be super negative, but, you know, I've watched them the last few games just to try and sort of get a feel for, okay, how are things going to be different? They're not. I'm convinced of that. They're not. And so, you know, really, it's going to have to be, you know, a season where you just look for positives here and there and little wins here and there, but there's just not going to be that many. And what they've done in spring training is, it's absolutely absurd. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I can't find many positives with this team. 412-928-9370 if you want to talk about your Buccos.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.